Okay, welcome back again, and we're going to continue our verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry of the Word of God. We are in the book of 2 John, and we should conclude with this section here. And so, I hope and pray that this messages are blessing you. We are going to look at 2 John here. We already did 1 John, and then, of course, we'll take 3 John in our next teachings. If you missed any of the sermons, they are archived at our website, washandword.com, under the Media tab. You can download and listen to all of our archive messages there for free. So the last thing we were talking about is how to walk and stay attached to the vine, how to walk and produce fruit, how to walk in step with the Lord. And this is incredibly important, because the last comment we made in our last message was, when we run ahead of God, we are running into a realm that we do not belong. And God does not, now hear me, God can, because he can do anything, protect you when you're outside of his will. And he has done that. Long before you came to Christ, he was protecting you in so many ways. And even in Christ, even as we walk with him and we stray, God still protects us. But that's just because he's merciful. And he's gracious, but he doesn't have to. And what I mean by that is, if we purposefully move out of the will of God, we are on our own. Now again, thankfully God is compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love and all these things. But if we walk where we don't belong, we subject ourselves to the enemy attack. Listen, all around us, there's a war going on. There are angels and demons battling it out. And the angels are the light that detracts the dark. For there can be no darkness when light is present. And the spiritual forces of evil are constantly pressing in against the wall of light in which you now walk. I think of it like Moses and the Israelites walking through the walls of the Red Sea, and only through the power of God holding back the walls of water were they not encompassed. But if any of those Israelites decided they wanted to try to dive into that wall of water, they surely would have perished. But no, they stuck close to one another. Remember, in Hebrews we read, let us not give up meeting together. We need to have that accountability. We need to be firm with one another and steadfast in our fellowship. And more importantly, we need to stay close to God. And as the Israelites crossed through the Red Sea, they stepped right where God stepped. They trod where God stepped. And if you step out of that light, you are now entering into a world that, guys, we are ill prepared to dwell in. You see, in this battle against the spiritual, you are not equipped to fight. Now, I hope that threw a red flag up to those of you who know your word. Wait a second, you're telling me in the spiritual battle against the spiritual realm, we are not equipped to fight? Well, that sounds like a defeating statement. That sounds sacrilegious, even anti-biblical, I might add. But, well, let's go back to where our preparation is. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, we read about the armor of God. The armor is protection. It is a ability to withstand against the onslaught of the enemy. But note this, the power is the Lord's and the armor is God's. Even Michael the archangel himself rebuked Satan using the name of the Lord. We read that in the book of Jude. Even the sword that we wield, which is the word of God, which is the only offensive armor that we have, it is the sword of the what? The Spirit. And so all of these weaponry, whether they be defensive or offensive, are of God. We are ill-equipped to fight a spiritual battle. But with the armor of God, with the power of God, with the protection of God, we can stand against the enemy. The fight against spiritual forces is fought on our knees, not on our feet or our steeds, that is, our horses. In other words, we do not mount on a horse and grab a shield and a sword and ride out of the light into the darkness, attempting to kill the devil once and for all. No, rather, we remain in the light, and we take the light with us as we walk in the step with the Lord, not lagging behind, not running ahead, as John said, but staying attached to the vine, and from there, on your knees, in prayer, in His power, with His armor, we tear down enemy strongholds. We don't run off into the darkness proclaiming the light. We take the light with us, and that automatically diminishes the darkness. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and take every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So get off your steeds, get on your knees, get off your high horse of pride, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, let's look at the last few verses we didn't read in 2 John. Verse 7 says, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now we're getting into the D.F. Minky Club, Depart From Me, I Never Knew You. Look at verse 10 and 11. Those are the last verses we need to read for 2 John. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. And so, just as it is the angel's job to fight demons, there are people in the flesh who represent light, and there are those who represent darkness. You see, there are only two camps. And this is clearly defined in the writings of John that we have covered so far in both 1 John and 2 John. There are only two camps. Romans 10, 9 through 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. You see, the world is filled with many different types of people. Some think they know Christ, but do not. Some love Jesus with all that they are, and some hate him with all that they are. And just as in the spiritual, there are forces battling, there are demons trying to pull you away, there are people who are doing the devil's bidding, trying to lead you astray, there are also angels of light. There are mature believers who are binding together with you, who are coming to your aid and to your rescue. And listen, those who are against you, though they may come as wolves in sheep's clothing, though they may be undetectable at first, you simply cannot hide darkness in light. I remember I used to go caving up in Connecticut, and there was this one cave, it was called the Torrey's Cave. It was just a cave we found in the woods. There was a history to it. They claim that it was it used to go under the Housatonic River, and there was battles that took place back in the early settling days. But in the family, the Torrey's family, owned that land. But anyway, we would go down in there, and you can go pretty far into this cave. It wasn't guided. There were no lights. It was just a raw, natural cave. And as teenagers, we would go down in there, and we would get down deep into the bowels of the earth, and we'd be, all right, now shut off our lights. And man, I cannot describe darkness the way it is when you're deep in the bowels of the earth in a cave and you turn off the light. It is unfathomably dark, but the very tiniest bit of light shatters all of that darkness. And I don't care how small the light was, darkness cannot remain in the light. And so those who come with evil intentions, they're easy to eventually to spot. They're easy to spot. Sometimes it takes a little while, but eventually they're going to exude wickedness and hate and darkness because it cannot remain hidden in the light. But you know what? People like that, they don't scare me. It is the subtle, smiling people who have all the right words and make all the right moves and say all the right things. They're the ones that scare me. And not me on a personal level. You see, I'm secure in my faith, but they scare me for you. They scare me for those who have been led astray by a weak doctrine over the last 40 years the church has been spewing out. They scare me for those of you who haven't been brought up in the verse-by-verse teaching of the whole counsel of God's Word. They scare me for those of you who have been steeped in your tradition here in the Bible Belt. Those who have gone through the motions for too many years. And a shepherd may be able to recognize a wolf in sheep's clothing, but a true shepherd teaches the sheep how to recognize the same. The Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Unitarians, all of these New Age people, they are all meant to deceive you into thinking that you are following the true Christ. But it always comes down to that one question. Ladies and gentlemen, who do you say Jesus is? Well, that ends it for 2 John. In just a few minutes, we'll take another look at 3 John. And until then, here's a brief announcement of some things that are going on here at the Washington Word. And have a great day. Be blessed and stay tuned.